KSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Welcome back to our show called Call Me Negotiator. We're live every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM or listen live at cjsf.ca. You can also watch on WeChat live stream under 野蛮生长夏洛特. Today we're having our guest Connor because this is the chapter of Connor and he knows a lot about the West andEast culture. His background is from California to Vancouver, and he traveled to a lot of places. Well, before we get started, I actually wanted to introduce a very viral song from China. It's called Stacks from All Sides. If you play TikTok or you're on social media a lot, you might have already listened to it. So we will see you after this song.
滋味到仔细东来，明码标价的那些物非黑即白。若上颁奖台，切莫张灯结彩。八仙桌的收尾少不了弄菜。
上北下南，左西右东，东南东北，西北西南，步步高升，八方来财，四海为家，家兴旺，百事可乐，千事吉祥，万事如意，顺风顺水，天道酬勤，鹏程万里。你不给你表示了吗？啊？
我们这辈老仔脖子上喜欢挂玉牌，香炉供台上摆，长大才开白黄牌。虔诚拜三拜，钱包里面多几百。意的是六合彩，难的是等合牌。来财，来，来财，来，来财，来，来财，来，哎，中子利滚利，对应好运大方来。散了才能聚，你不出手，说了灾。
财从八方来。
Hello, hello. We hope you enjoy the song. How do you like that, Connor?
I am a big fan of Sky Is Your God because he has a really cool mix of.Mandarin rap, but also Cantonese culture.
Right.
And he also has a background from Sichuan as well, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, I had no idea.
He studied in Chengdu, but his dad is from Leshan.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I have no idea because I know this is very Cantonese based.
It is, yeah. From Guangdong area.
Right. I really love it. However, today we really want to talk about...food, like the dining manner,how do we order things, and I think you are the best to talk about this because you went to China several times, you love food, we talked about the cuisine thing last time, we promised that we will make the whole episode about it, so here we go. I want to say that, you know, there are so many differences between how we order food, how we split the bills, how we pay the bills.
Oh, yeah.
Between East and West. When I talk about East, I would say I'm Chinese. I was born and grew up in Chengdu. So Chengdu could be very different than Guangdong. Mm-hmm. But I would say in general, Chinese people are pretty much the same. We have some similarity towards too. Hey, how do we order food? How do we share food? Who sits where? And how do you pay for it? However, when I came to North America, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait, it's very different. And sometimes what we think is normal, they might feel it's kind of, you know, invading the personal boundary.
Absolutely.
And what Westerners, they thought it was normal, like I rejected because I don't want to eat it, I don't want to drink that alcohol. And I think if you do that in the Chinese dining environment, people will be like, kind of offended.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very rude when you are in China or Hong Kong or Taiwan or Singapore to refuse something that's offered to you. It's considered very polite to accept something, whether that's food, whether that's beverages as well, tea, anything like that. Something that's offered to you is considered a sign of hospitality. Your family or company or guest or anyone that's putting on an event, they want to show their hospitality through food, through taking care of you. And it's just a good idea to accept. You know, for example, if you don't drink alcohol, there's a way to refuse it, but it's this thing. And I also saw another thing about paying for food, and we'll talk about that later, but it can sometimes be an offer of something, a refusal of something, an offer of something, a refusal of something, an offer of something, a refusal of something, a third time, and then they finally get it. So there's a little bit of back and forth, whereas, like you said, in North America, if someone doesn't want to eat something or drink something, they'll just say, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
They might say, no, I'm good, thank you. That's a more polite way to do it. That's how I was raised. If you don't want to try something. But I was also raised that someone has gone to the effort to make you food, serve you beverages. You should be thankful and grateful for that service at the very least. And as long as there's no food allergies or religious reasons, you should try it. And especially if it's something that's new to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, tell me something about like happening in your life, your experience that you feel, oh my God, I did not fit in this environment. And I feel like I was not trying to offend anybody, but somehow somebody feel probably offended.
There's one that I can think of, and it wasn't actually in China. It was in Norway. And so in the United States, it's very common to have hamburgers. That's a very common food. It's, you can get it everywhere. You can eat it all just everywhere. And my friend who I was visiting in Norway wanted me to cook a hamburger from scratch. So, sure, no problem. Okay. Go to the grocery store, get everything there. But in Norway, they have this type of cheese called brunost, and it's a brown cheese, and it's not like your normal cheddar cheese, but it's something that it's just different. It's like a cheese product.
Right.
And me being an American, I thought, hey, I have a burger, I have cheese, I can put whatever cheese I want on it.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then all of her Norwegian friends said, what are you doing? That cheese is not, that does not belong on a burger. This is horrible. Okay. And so it kind of became like a thing. And there was hundreds of her friends that she sent a Snapchat to. And everyone except for one person said, what are you doing? This is culturally inappropriate. You can't do this.
Okay.
And one of her Norwegian friends said, yeah, you can do that. That's no problem. But it was that feeling of, oh, okay, I guess I need to respect that. I had no idea about that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that they kind of, you know, I know that was kind of a joke because you guys were a friend, but publicly ashamed you because of that mistake.
It, you know, food is very tied to national identity as well, too. If you were to go to someone in the U.S. and say, okay, fries, cheese curds, and gravy is one of the best things ever. It's poutine, and it's a Canadian national dish, and it is something close to us as a cultural item kind of thing. But some people might say, that sounds gross. I don't understand it. And I say, have you tried it?
Yeah.
Also, you need to do it right. You need to have real cheese curds, real gravy, proper fries. So it's interesting. And definitely in China, there's a lot of regional pride in dishes as well, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Shanghai-style cuisine, Cantonese-style, Northern-style, Sichuan-style, Xinjiang style as well, so all different kinds.
Yeah, you know it very well. Well, that reminds me of an experience where I grew up in China. I pretty much understand the drinking culture. However, most of the time that I just attend those, I would say scenarios that as a kid, right? Yeah. So nobody would just be like, hey, kid, like you gotta drink that. Otherwise, I feel disrespected.
Yeah.
So I understand that's how, at least from the last generation, how do they social. So basically, I think there is a core principle underneath, which is to test that if you are a person who is authentic, who is kind of generous, because if everybody's trying to drink and you're like, oh, I'm not so sure, I'm not gonna follow because I'm afraid that I will be drunk. And after you get tipsy, people see it as how you reveal your true personality.
It's true.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. But when I came to, I would say, like, because I stayed in the States for several years and I was overseas for many, many years. And when I came to Vancouver, I thought, okay, Canada is pretty much the same as US. I apologize to Canadian people, but like, I think it's pretty similar, at least compared with China. But I was very wrong when I attend a dinner to, like, you know, Richmond, that so most of the Chinese people would hang out. And I think, you know, I think I just carry that mindset where, like, I would politely reject, and I thought everything is good.
Yeah.
So people say, like, you know, they have a toast, and somehow that day I just didn't feel that I want to drink, so I'm like, no, thank you. And that person was just kind of feel embarrassed because everyone else was waiting for it, and I did not notice anything that was wrong. But then I was like, this is weird, and that person was like, this is weird, and then I realized, hey, you should always be adjust your style to adapt. So I came with some strategy, like maybe I just verbally tell them, hey, I really respect you, but this is how I feel.
My dad has had experiences like that. He traveled to the East for business a lot, and his piece of advice was never feel that, this is coming from a Western perspective,
right?
But never feel ashamed to say no to something, but there's also a polite way to say no, and it may take a couple of times for that message to sink in, just because of the cultural differences. Like we were saying, in the West, if you tell someone that you don't want to eat something or don't want to drink something, they won't offer it again.
Right,
it's kind of understood.
Right.
But in, for example, mainland, you get offered something and you'll say no, and then you'll get offered it again.
Yes,
and then you'll say no, and then you'll get offered it another time, and you'll say no, and they go, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing when you try to pay for something. We were looking at our notes for the show today, and one thing that stuck out in my mind was an experience I had in Victoria. One of my good friends in the music program was an opera singer, and he was a vocal major, but we used to go out for Chinese food all the time.
Right.
And he was from Beijing and I'm from California, but this place had really, really good Sichuan style food, and proper, like, gongbao jiding, and the actual, like, lung, the it's like lung with cold spicy sauce. It's very, very good. Really, really good dishes.
Like futifei pian.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Right.
So we have all these awesome dishes, and, you know, another point is, when you go out, generally in Chinese meals and in the East, one person will pay for the meal, for the entire thing.
Right.
And that might rotate from time to time.
Exactly.
It might also be someone, you know, your aunties or your uncles or your grandma and grandpa that will cover that for you. And so often when you're invited out to dinner, it's not expected that you'll pay. Whereas in the West, it's very common to split the bill.
Right, right.
Everybody orders stuff. We might try different things.
Yes.
But we'll split the bill individually. And especially if we're sharing dishes, we might say, oh, I've got one dish, but we shared an appetizer. We'll split the cost of the appetizer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very egalitarian, very equal kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas you go to a dinner in China, you know, you might order $150, $200 worth of food for a couple of people.
Yeah.
And one person will pay for it.
Right.
You'll go and you'll try to pay and they'll say, no.
Yeah.
And you'll go and you pay.
Fight for it.
Yeah, there is. And so I had that experience kind of for the first time. A long time ago, maybe 2011, 2012, and I went to go pay. My friend grabbed my arm and he's like, no. And I said, no, I'll get it. And he's like, no, you can't. And I said, let me pay. And he's like, you know.
Oh.
And so it's this, and at the time I didn't really know, but I had to act like I understood the culture.
Okay.
So that way, and this is a big thing, especially in Eastern countries, I've noticed. It's the concept of, I wouldn't say appearance, but in English we normally say face, like to save face or to have a good face.
Did you save face?
Yes, save face.
I thought that was like very direct translation.
It can be. And I think that the attitude is that you, and I wouldn't say it's putting on an appearance, I would say it's being on your best social behavior.
Mm.
And there's some customs that are different in different cultures and different age groups too.
Right.
And also depending on how big the group is as well. But social understandings.
Right. I think that's very interesting sharing because that's exactly what happened. And that's mostly what the culture is. But like, I think the younger generation in China now start to pick up the Western style because we realize that maybe it's less hustle.
Yeah.
And I watched some short form videos on social media. I think somebody said, I absolutely reject to be friends with people who just going to split the bill. And that lady, she actually studied abroad in the UK, I think. So I was like, oh, interesting, because I feel like in China, if you say, hey, we're just going to split our own bills because I'm going to order my own food, that's okay too. But then if you say we're going to split the appetizer and everything's to be absolutely equal, and if you even you put point out the splits split-wise, right?
Yeah, on a calculator.
I don't know. In China has this kind of app, and then people will be like, that's so cheap. I'm not going to hang out with this person ever.
Totally. And also, it's understood that if we were going out for food,
right.
I might buy one time, you might buy the next time, I might buy the time after that. And we try different places kind of thing. But it's that understanding that, don't worry so much about trying to make it equal. It's more about having the social connection with someone.
Exactly. I think
as opposed to making it equal and we're all and everything's okay and everything's paying the same amount. And that to me, I prefer that style of dining and hanging out where I'll pick up this time or it's fine and we'll go try something else and then you'll get it next time.
Right.
And I find also that way of dining, especially with a group of people, people don't worry about things and they have more fun and then they try new foods and they're not worried so much about, oh, can I afford to go out? And we're lucky here in Vancouver, we've got a lot of different food, especially awesome Chinese food. And I enjoy taking my Western friends out to go try food that they haven't tried before. And not forcing them, but kind of like dragging them along into new culinary experiences as well.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that's why the younger generation in China start to pick it up the style where like splitting the bills equally because first of all, it's to save up some mindful storage to kind of remember which is my turn. And secondly, I think it does bring people from different groups you have different kind of financial situation, but you can still hang out. You don't have to carry that pressure, but to maintain your face, like maintain your mianzi. So that's actually pretty practical. But I think how we pay the bill really, if we want to talk about that, we really want to talk about how do we do the dishes? How do we order food?
Oh, because it's very different.
Yeah, it's more like the East versus West is more like shared dishes versus individual plates. I think that really, because for Chinese people, right, we share dishes all the time. So in that case, it does a little bit, it makes it a little harder to split the bill because I might eat very less and you eat a lot.
Totally. and that, I think, is... It's part of this unwritten rule to let one person take care of everything one time, and then that changes for the next time when it comes to Eastern style of ordering and paying for things. And it's also very common, you'll invite a whole group of people and maybe you'll choose one or two things, but it's very often, and I have done this myself, where I'll get a group of six or eight friends, I'll invite them out, and I'm just going to order everything. You guys are going to sit there and you're going to eat. And maybe we'll choose, you know, one or two dishes that you want to have. But the whole thing is I want you guys to try a whole bunch of things. And I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just sit and enjoy, kind of thing. And it's interesting because it's very common in Western dining, like you said, for everybody to have their own plate.
Yeah.
I'm going to order this thing. It will come with a side. It will come with a drink. And then I will get my dessert.
Yeah.
Whereas you go to Japanese restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Thai restaurants, Chinese restaurants, Singapore restaurants, we're ordering a whole bunch of dishes and everybody's sharing them.
Yeah.
And it's a more communal kind of family style eating.
Yeah, family style for
sure. And the joke is always when you see someone who is from the West, they go to a restaurant of Eastern cuisine, they order something for themselves and they don't know it comes in a giant like share size plate, and then you see them eating just the plate.
I've
seen it too, and you go,
funny.
That's a lot of food for one person.
Yeah. And also they actually lost the chance to try different things, because for us we like to order different things and share, so you get, for people like me, I love that because I don't eat as much.
Yeah.
So I get to try five dishes if I have friends together.
Absolutely.
Instead of like I just have a kombao jiding for myself.
Exactly. It's a lot of food. And I also think that the way that Western plates are set up for dining, you've got kind of your entree, you have your small side dishes, and then maybe you have an appetizer or a drink as well. In Eastern cuisine, often you will have some kind of starch, either rice or noodles or bun, and then you'll have things to go with it, to put on top of it. You'll have some stir-fry dishes, maybe a fish dish, maybe a beef or chicken dish, maybe some kind of spicy dish, maybe a soup dish, and you'll have these different things. And also I think the dining experience is different too. When you order a dish in the West, it kind of all comes at once.
Yeah.
Whereas you go out for mainland Chinese food, for example, the dishes will come out when they're ready.
Yeah.
And it's more of a continuous dining experience.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It can last for hours.
For sure. And that's what I always tell my friends. If we're going for dim sum, be prepared to just sit there for 3 hours and talk with each other. We will have lots of tea. And when you're sick of tea, you can have hot water. So.
Right. Yeah. I guess that makes sense for like long dinner. Because I think I used to, because I've been like living abroad myself for a long time, and then I very used to have like very like the efficiency of how Finnish food.
Yeah.
And so when I attend those kind of dinner in China, I would say just in Richmond, Vancouver, and I'm like, oh my god, this lasts for like ever.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't know, that's something like I feel I'm joining this dinner with my dad, but I cannot escape because I'm already at that out. So that is very interesting.
It's true. It's, you almost have to kind of be comfortable with that length of dining. It's not the only thing I can think of that's comparable in the West is like multi-course dining. You go to somewhere that's a nice European style restaurant, French, Italian restaurant, where it's multi-courses and you sit there for 2-3 hours. And I think that there are cuisines and countries in the West, France, Italy, Spain, more kind of classic style cooking that has that length of eating.
And
it has more of a communal aspect. And it's interesting, different countries approach dining and how many people and are we sharing things differently.
Yeah. It's like omakase, and it's totally not for me because and I think in the middle I'm already full.
Oh, totally.
And I'm like, but yeah, so to conclude, I want to say that for China style, they are changing though, but meaning they sharing dishes signals we are a group, we belong together. And to the West, individuals place reflect boundaries and the personal space. So that's kind of like how we communicate with each other, very aligned to our culture. So I think the culture logic is more like China builds closeness through sharing and the West shows respect through boundaries.
Yeah, it comes through that big, and I wouldn't call it a debate, I just call it a cultural difference between the West and the East. And these are very generic observations. These are very general things that we've both seen. In the West, it's very much an individual focused society. You learn how to take care of yourself. Now I will say that there are parts of the West that are very family oriented, so you get that crossover. But in general, that individual aspect, being able to take care of yourself, you can choose what you want, you can have it the way you want, kind of thing. Whereas in the East, it's more, these are what's being given to you, everyone is sharing this, you will enjoy it, you will learn how to adapt to it.
Exactly.
So it's more about changing yourself to fit the group rather than changing the group to fit yourself.
Well, that's amazing conclusion, because I think through how to order dishes, how to split the bills, how to share food, it really can reveal the cultural differences or the mindset that we have. If you trying to immigrate to from East to West, or if you're trying to visit East world like China, and you probably feel like a little daunted to like how to adapt to the culture, I don't really know. But then through those daily gestures, daily habits, and the daily activities like sharing food, ordering food, you just need to observe or hang out for several times, and you really understand the culture and mindset behind it, and not to get to offend people, but to be engaged and be even welcomed very properly, and I would say very fast.
I would also say that so two things that are coming to mind. One is, if you're traveling somewhere, one of the best things you can do is look up the dining etiquette, because it's different across the world.
Yeah.
How do you hold your bowls? How do you use your fork, spoon, and knife? Or how do you use chopstick and spoon? How do you use serving chopsticks?
You know,
what is the appropriate way to engage with the dishes, the cutlery, the table setting, how to pour, what is proper? And so that's a really good thing to do if you're ever traveling to a different country, or you're being invited to a cultural food exchange, something like that. And also just learning how to be uncomfortable.
Right.
I think is a huge thing.
That really reminds me of something higher level of fixed mindset and growth mindset.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I really encourage people, including myself, to grow or to build the growth mindset, because that's like, oh, you know what? I just think chopsticks is the most convenient in the world, but so I'm not going to use fork, or people are just like not as smart to be able to mastering it. Mm-hmm. Or if you feel like, oh, I just use fork and knife because it looks probably more elegant, I would say, and then I reject to do this because it's just another hassle. I would recommend people to really try it. You will find a new world, and you'll find yourself adapt to new culture, picking up the new skills really fast just by doing these fun things.
Absolutely. It's so important to, at least for me, the best experiences I've had traveling are when I let all of my cultural attachments go, and I do my best to spend some time learning the language, the customs and respect, basic respect, dining etiquette, put myself in the idea of history as well as community and social order in a different country. Because you know, when I go to the U.S., it's different. I act different in the United States than I do in Canada. Absolutely.
Okay, what are the differences? I'm very curious.
I feel that the United... Now, I'm speaking just for myself.
Yes.
And as someone who grew up in the United States and then moved to Canada, but has gone back to the U.S. regularly, times a year kind of thing.
For sure.
When I go back to the U.S., I'm generally more outgoing. And I'm generally more kind of... just open and talking with people. I find the culture itself is a little more extroverted. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Canada is very polite, but sometimes I find when I come back, and I was actually talking with Leslie, who hosts an amazing program, Typically Tuesdays, really great friend of ours here at the station. She also has a background in the East through her family. And we were talking that it sometimes can be difficult, and I was speaking from my own personal experience that I had to kind of tone down my American side when I came back to Canada. And I had to learn how to be a little bit more reserved, a little bit more polite.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. It has helped me be able to nurture both sides.
Yeah.
But I also find that the way that you interact with people, even especially in a dining sense, that's a really great way to see how cultures interact with each other.
Yeah.
Is